Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Good to see you. If we haven't met before, my name is Luke. I'm on our pastoral team, and I'll be sharing from the scriptures today. So we've been in this series called Greater Love, and those words are lifted from John's Gospel, where Jesus says in John chapter 15 that there is no greater love than if someone lays down their life for a friend. So we've been trying to wrap our minds and our hearts a little bit around those words, what it means to understand that Jesus has done that for us, and what it means to do that ourselves for one another and the world beyond. And so we started by being inspired by and hearing stories about our global workers, people who are around the world sharing the love of God in unique and beautiful ways. And from there, we moved on into some particular texts in the Gospel of John. Dave walked us through a communion Sunday where we remembered the towel at the table, where we thought about and prayed a little bit about and received, actually, as we shared communion, the truth that when we come to the table, when we come to the Last Supper, when we share communion together, we are remembering the truth about God, that he humbly and lovingly serves us, and that's what the foot washing is about that we read in John. That's what the cross is about that we see later. It's God's loving, humble service of us. So we learned that when we come to the table, we receive from God. But we also were reminded that when we go from the table, that we go as followers of Jesus, people that Jesus has said, go and do likewise. Do the same kind of thing that I've done. The loving, humble, serving kind of thing. And Dave led us through that to be reminded of what God does through communion and what we do when we leave from that table. And then last week, we walked through portions of John chapter 14, where we find the disciples somewhat struggling to keep up with Jesus, having a bit of a difficult time and getting things quite often the wrong way around, and Jesus again having to show them who he is and what he's really doing. And we talked about when we try and follow Jesus, sometimes we might feel that we're struggling to keep up, but we have to pay attention to God's proximity to us and by extension, our proximity to other people. So following Jesus, doing the foot washing thing, doing the loving, humble service thing, means that we have to pay attention to our proximity to other people. It means that we have to get close. But sometimes we said that when we try and do that, we can sometimes get it wrong. Or we might not want to get close to others to show them the love of Jesus because we're worried that we're going to get it wrong. We're worried that we're going to say, look at my life and action, and you can see the love and the life of God. And that seems like a bold thing to say. And so we worry that if we do it, we're going to get it wrong. But what we discovered towards the end of chapter 13 and into chapter 14 is that when following Jesus, when we get it wrong, when we get a bit turned around, we aren't met with harsh words by Jesus. We're not met with a lack of grace. We're actually met with abundant grace. We have that moment where Peter, in all of his bravado, in all of his passion, is telling Jesus that he's willing to die for him. And Jesus has to put him in his place a little bit and say, Peter, it's going to be the other way around. You think that you're going to die for me, but in fact, you're going to betray me. You're going to leave me all alone. But then Jesus quickly says in chapter 14, verse 1, almost in the same breath, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And so we see the truth about God in that moment, that when we get it wrong, when we step out, when following Jesus and things don't quite go how we hoped that they would, Jesus' response is of grace. It's, don't trust in yourself, don't be troubled, but trust in me. And that's a wonderful thing that we remember as we try and keep up with Jesus wherever he's going, whatever he's doing, and following him quite closely. It's that remembrance of who do we trust? Do we trust ourselves, or do we ultimately trust Jesus? And we're going to continue, I think, this morning, hopefully to follow that thread of trust and to see where it would lead us further into chapter 15. So a number of years ago, my friend, who was born and raised in Hawaii on the Big Island, invited me to go and spend a week with him there. And so I took off and showed up and learned rather quickly that people who are born and raised in Hawaii have a different idea of fun than those of us in mainland North America. I thought I was pretty outdoorsy, being from British Columbia. I thought I knew my way around sort of risky hikes and things like that. But he showed me a whole other world. We did some lava tube exploration. We did some crater hiking. And every day we would get up and I would say, "Chris, what do I need for the day?" And he said, "Well, whatever you're wearing is fine." Because he would do all of this stuff in flip-flops and just shorts and no shirt. And I would be strapping on, you know, hiking shoes and things like that and trying to be prepared. And we did all kinds of things that felt quite dangerous. But the thing that pushed me the most, that I found to be most exciting but also the scariest, was learning how to scuba dive. Chris was a diving instructor, and he said, "Do you want to learn for free?" And free is a good sounding word. And so I said, "Yeah." So we began just at a pool near the beach where he worked. And he brought out all of the equipment, and I learned about the tank and the diving regulator and all of the bits and bobs and everything that you need to pay close attention to in order to stay alive. And I tried to do that as much as I could. And once I understood the equipment and we'd been through some of the routine, we eventually got into the pool. And I remember that moment of putting the regulator in my mouth and of trying to focus very hard on breathing through my mouth and not my nose, and first going under the water. And that was a thrilling moment, even though the water was about, you know, this deep. It was learning to trust this new reality. And then eventually we got into the ocean. We went out into the surf, and that was a whole other moment of trust, of thinking about the tank on my back and thinking about everything that Chris had taught me and putting the regulator in my mouth and going beneath the surface. And when I went beneath the surface, all of a sudden, after a couple of moments, everything changed. There was this whole new world that I was surrounded by. And for the first couple of moments, I was paying close attention and working really hard at breathing right, at what it meant to pay attention to and to really try and trust this apparatus. But after a few moments, all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed by what was around me. The color, the depth, the beauty, what I could do swimming in, almost feel like flying in, you know, 40 feet of water. It was an incredible experience. All of a sudden, I was in this world beneath the surface that I hadn't yet discovered. And it all happened because I learned how to trust Chris and trust in this new way of breathing, this new reality. When I read John chapter 15 and the words that Jesus has for his disciples, I think about scuba diving. In John chapter 15, we end up at one of the pinnacles of John's gospel. Throughout John's gospel, there's been a theme running all the way through of life and trust. And Jesus, through that theme, uses certain sayings, certain pictures throughout the whole gospel, seven. Precisely. He says at one point, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I am the light of the world." He says, "I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John chapter 15, Jesus comes to the seventh saying about himself. He says, "I am the true grapevine," or "I am the vine and the branches. You are the branches." He says this in verse 5 of chapter 15. "I am the vine, you are the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So here again in this saying from Jesus is this theme of life again. It's agricultural, the picture that he gives us. But it's also quite simple. It's really quite obvious. It directs us toward a reality that we see in our present day, everyday lives. And that would very much be the picture of the grapevine would be very present in first century people's minds. But we still, though we don't necessarily live in an agrarian reality or culture, we also know what this means to look out the window and to see a tree or to see a vine and to see that life comes out, budding comes out, fruit only comes out because there is a connection from the branch to the vine. That's where the life is. What Jesus is giving us in this simple picture is the truth. Remember I said throughout the Gospel of John, you see a theme of life and a theme of truth. Jesus is giving us a simple picture of truth here. It's the truth about God, and it's the truth about ourselves. Jesus says that you will only produce life, you'll only produce fruit, there will be flourishing in your life if you remain in me, or if you stay grafted, you stay connected, you abide is another word that we have in other translations. I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. What does it mean to remain in Jesus? What does it mean to stay grafted? Jesus says later in John 15, verse 10, he says, those who remain in me, obey my commandments. Obey my commandments. There's a phrase in the 21st century, at least in our society, that might not be all that popular. You know, obey my commandments. The word obey and commandments, perhaps not all that appealing to us. But what Jesus is doing when he's saying obey my commandments is once again pointing us toward, drawing us toward the truth. He's drawing us toward reality. If all of life comes from him, if all of love emanates from the very heart of God, then the only way that we can know life and experience life and love is by paying attention to Jesus and listening to what he has to say. So it's as if Jesus is saying, listen to what I say, trust what I say, and do what I say. When Jesus says, obey my commandments, what does he mean by that? The other Gospels, as well as the Gospel of John, would tell us that that really boils down to a couple of things, according to Jesus. That's loving God and loving your neighbor. We've been talking the last number of weeks quite a lot about what it means to love your neighbor, what it means to do the things of Jesus that look like service things, that look like loving, humble, simple things. But I'd like to draw a little bit on what Jesus might mean by loving God, and what we as Christians have learned over the past 2,000 years of what it might mean to love God. Many have found that in order to love another, in order to love your neighbor, you have to do so out of a capacity that you have. And many people find that trying to love other people without first having a full capacity of love yourself is quite difficult. And so loving your neighbor can't be done unless we first understand what it means to love God and be loved by God. And that would mean, I think, what Jesus means by these words, remaining in him or staying grafted to him. And one of the ways that we can remain in Jesus, one of the ways that we can stay grafted to God is through prayer. It's a tradition all the way through Jewish history and all the way through our Christian history as well, that prayer has a great deal to do with remaining in God, with paying attention to God, with receiving from God, with staying grafted. So given that we're moving towards our Holy Week of prayer and that we're taking a special week to think about prayer and to talk about prayer and to actually pray ourselves, I want to talk about what it means to stay grafted when it comes to something like prayer. Prayer, simply put, is opening up to the possibility of knowing and experiencing God. Prayer is opening up to the possibility of knowing and experiencing God. In prayer, we face the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are. But sometimes, in my experience of prayer and in conversations with other people, I find that many find prayer to be difficult, find prayer to be something of a challenge. And that can tend to do at times with how we pray and how we think about prayer. Sometimes we think about prayer and do prayer out of a couple of categories that are a bit thin or even unhelpful. Sometimes we think about prayer and we pray out of the category of law. And sometimes we think about prayer and pray out of the category of list. Law or list. When we pray out of law, we pray as if to say, I had better do this. I had better do this or else. We approach God as if he has a frown on his face, and our intentions, if we say just the right words, or if we pray just the right amount of time, that maybe we can turn that frown into a little bit of a smile. We pray as if to believe that we're praying to a God we need to placate, a God that we need to please. But that's not, in fact, what prayer is. Prayer is not about law. It's not about saying, I had better do this. Prayer is realizing the truth about who God is and who we are. And the truth, as Christians we would believe, is the gospel. And the gospel says that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God is already pleased with us. And so when we approach God in prayer, we're not approaching a God who is frowning. We're approaching a God who's smiling, who's inviting us, who's welcoming us to a relationship, to a conversation, to a receiving. In doing that, then, we're able to leave aside all of those negative ideas about having to pray, because if we don't, God's somehow going to be upset with us and wag his finger at us and we'll be in trouble. So when we pray in the category of law, prayer can get very thin and get rather oppressive feeling. The other way we can pray, of course, is sometimes through list, that we approach God with a list of demands, and that's it. We show up in the moment, and usually it's a moment that feels quite urgent. We're very needy, and we just tell him what we need, and off we go. And though God is generous and good and is willing to interact with us in any way, especially when we come to him in desperation, if that's all prayer ever is for us, just reading out a list of demands before God, it can very quickly become quite thin. It can become something that feels like you're not praying to God and who he really is, but you're praying to some kind of cosmic vending machine. When we pray, when it comes to thinking about prayer in terms of law, or thinking about prayer in terms of list, what we end up doing is we either objectify ourselves or we objectify God. But prayer is not something that happens between objects. Prayer is something that happens between persons. And that's, in many ways, leads us to the words of Jesus. How would Jesus understand prayer to be? Well, we're going to talk about that throughout the week as we walk through the Lord's Prayer. But another way of understanding prayer is looking at other pictures that Jesus gives us. Perhaps the picture that we get in John 15 of the vine and the branches. So if prayer isn't just about law or list, maybe prayer could be about loving dependence. Remembering that God is loving, God is generous, God is kind towards us, and that God expects that we are needy beings who need to come to him for everything that we would need. Loving dependence. So before devotion, before discipline, prayer is simply dependence. And in those moments of prayer, when we come to Jesus in loving dependence, we remember his words, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you'll do nothing. So prayer, in many ways, is coming to the end of yourself and finding the beginning of God. Prayer is coming to the end of yourself and finding the beginning of God, to use that picture of the vine and the branches. Prayer is putting the diving regulator into your mouth when you feel as if you have been living on the surface and learning to trust and to breathe in a new way. And it's going beneath the surface, being led beneath the surface, and finding yourself perhaps in a world that you didn't necessarily know existed. And it's going to take time. It's going to take learning how to trust. It's going to take getting used to that kind of a reliance. But after time, you forget what it is to do the breathing, and you simply find yourself in a new reality. And for many people who've explored prayer over the centuries, that's what they might describe it to be. The world becomes different. The world becomes alive. The world becomes fresh and new when we quieten ourselves, when we learn to pray, when we learn to rely, when we learn to remain or stay grafted. And out of that, we end up discovering a new world around us. We end up discovering that we're actually bearing fruit. We're actually producing something. We're actually producing life. So I'd like to maybe just close this morning by praying together as we begin this Holy Week of prayer. I'd like to begin by perhaps us as a community re-grafting, maybe, saying to one another and to God in the moment that we want to be connected to you, Jesus. We want to remain in you as a body and as an individual, perhaps as a married couple or as a family. We want to remain. We want to stay grafted. We want to bear fruit. We want to know life. And maybe there would be some of us in the room who would say that they haven't really ever done an awful lot of praying. That praying has felt something that is disconnected, that God has been someone that they haven't really tested the waters with. But maybe today you would say that you'd like to give prayer a shot. That you would say to God, I do want to know this life and this love. I do want to go into a deeper place. I do want to discover a new reality. And if that's you today, I'm going to encourage you to pray along with me in your heart and to just do exactly what we said. Be open to the possibility of knowing and experiencing God. So maybe we could stand together to kind of change our posture, and we could pray together as we close our gathering. Gracious Lord, thank you for the pictures that Jesus gave us, the images and the words that lead us to an understanding of who you are and who we are. We think about the vine and the branches and the grapes. And we think about all of the good things that come from you. We think about how barren we can sometimes feel, how thin we can feel when we find ourselves straying, when we find ourselves trying to produce fruit and not recognizing that we're designed to be grafted, that we're made to grow out of you. And so Jesus, as a community, going into this season of Holy Week and on into Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we as a community say that we want to be grafted to you. We want to remain in you. We pray that you would give us the grace to do that, that you would draw us to yourself, that you would remind us of the truth of who you are and who we are. And Lord, some of us are praying in this moment. Some of us are becoming open to you in this moment for the very first time. We ask, Jesus, that as we open ourselves to you, that you would fill us with your life, with your love, with your light, and that as we are open to you, that you would produce fruit in our lives, and that you would help us as we learn how to trust you, as we learn how to breathe in a new way, that you would take us into deeper places, that you would show us a new world full of light and color. We ask in Jesus' name that you'd convince us, not just in our minds, but deep into our hearts, of your love, of your kindness, of your patience, of your true character. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and we will see you next Sunday on Easter, if not before, in the week of prayer.